One muggy summer in 1940s Philadelphia, two young men formed an unusual friendship, one centered not on baseball cards or stickball, but on intense conversations about issues of life, death, and the universe, issues that were sadly all too relevant. It would only be a few months before the older of the two would lose his battle with leukemia. Deeply moved by his friend's passing, the younger boy, Jacob Needleman, would go on to become one of America's most respected philosophers, a professor at San Francisco State University, and best-selling author of books such as The American Soul, What is God, and Why Can't We Be Good? In his latest work, Unknown World, Notes on the Meaning of the Earth, Needleman describes the vivid dreams of his childhood friend that inspired his recent exploration into the relationship between humans and the Earth. He goes beyond issues of environment and conservation, instead probing into the very nature of the world and our place here. It is a great pleasure to welcome Jacob Needleman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm very glad to be with you.
Give us a sense of the nagging nature of the questions and of your friendship that you wanted to explore in a book like this.
Well, it had to do with the sense that the Earth needs something from us. My friend Elias and I and many young people like us, and many of the as we grow older too, have this sense of the Earth and nature as coming from a. I don't want to be any kind of sound like any kind of dogmatism of religious or scientific or otherwise, but that it comes from another level. That we are having, we human beings seem to have a special place on this planet, this Earth. And it needs something from us more than just to clean up the mess that we have created. In other words, we have a unique quality as human beings, and we're here on Earth in order to develop that, in order to express that. And that was it seems that was behind all my, when my friend Elias and I as kids, we just look up at the stars, and as many people do, and feel this sense of wonder, this sense of who are we here on this Earth? What are we here for? The Earth, life and on Earth was not just an accidental appendage to a mechanical system, but life was the fundamental defining force on this planet, and we had to be a special part of it. So the question of the book is, what does the Earth really need from us beyond the necessary environmental cleanup? And the answer that the book tries to explore is it needs us to become more fully human, more fully conscious. That's our unique quality. So that I haven't seen expressed very much in all the immense and powerful literature about the planetary crisis. What is our unique place as human beings on this Earth?
The third chapter of this book is called A Mysterious Directive. The 15th chapter of this book is called The Two Mysteries. There is a lot of mystery when we talk about these issues. For you, what were the mysteries?
Well, the human mind and the mystery of life, there's no question that the more we learn from science, which is considerable, the more we realize we don't understand, we don't really know. Every time a new development appears in science, a new technology, a new instrument of perception, telescope or microscope or collider, the more we come down to the farther in and down we go, and the farther up and out we go, the more the mystery deepens. Why? What is there a purpose? And sometimes most of the modern science says there's no such thing as purpose out there. It's all mechanics of one kind or another. That, I felt, as we all felt as children, that cannot be the last answer. And without going into any fundamentalistic debates, it seems obvious to me that things do have a purpose, and we have a purpose, and a greater purpose. But, and here's the really the point the book is trying to communicate, we don't see the purpose in the of the earth or of the universe if we look at it with only one little part of the human brain. The human brain is the great mystery, as much as the earth and the universe. And the psyche, the human brain, has more instruments of perception than just the mind that's used in science. And when we go to the mysterious instrument of perception, which we call real feeling, then the earth lights up with purpose.
You write in that chapter of the two mysteries, what has become of the question of the heart that asks, what is the purpose of our life on earth? It is now no longer merely a conventional way of asking what is the meaning of our life. We must add the earth to this question. And when did we come to that point where it was necessary to add the earth to that question?
Right now. This is where it's this is the crisis. We're at a turning point or a tipping point, however we look at it. The earth is in crisis, and it's the same kind, it reflects the crisis we are in as human beings. Our lives are getting very torn apart, very distracted, we're in a very dangerous place. Everybody, more or less, admits that. And the earth is in a very dangerous place. It needs something from us now, and that has to do with becoming more fully human. Otherwise, we are tearing our culture apart, our civilization apart. And to state it rather dramatically, the earth is a living being, and a living being can die. And if we don't become fully human, the earth may cease to develop and itself die.
And there will always be that balance, I assume, between the scientific and a spiritual feeling of where we stand in all of this?
That's a very good question, and there has to be a balance. There isn't now a balance. The scientific, magnificent as it is only one part, reflects only one part of the human mind, and it's way out of balance with the spiritual and moral development of human beings. We all know that we know and understand and discover and have much more knowledge than we're far more developed intellectually in that sense than we are morally, and that means also spiritually. And that is when a civilization develops one side like that, so lopsidedly over the other side, it's racing toward destruction. And that balance you mentioned has to be recovered. That's really the message of the book. Not to deny science and not to promote nothing but spirituality, but to find those two things in harmony with each other, which is very difficult but very necessary.
You write later on in the book, there is a quote that says, God conceives the idea of man while observing the flight of birds. And you write, why does this explanation thrill me? Why does it deeply touch me? Why are we here? What forces have brought man to the earth? And it all comes from that wondering about nature.
Yes. The nature used to be called the signature of God, that it could be read and understood like you have to understand a sacred text. And the sense of that wonder shows us something about our inner nature. We are born, we are structured, and this modern psychology doesn't tell us. We are born with a yearning to understand and participate in something of greater purpose than ourselves, something we could call God, but or we call the higher states of being, or we call consciousness. But we have that yearning, that need is in our DNA, and that hasn't been acknowledged. It needs to come out more fully.
This all started for you on the night of your 75th birthday, dreaming of Elias at this low stone wall where you would meet and talk and have these very deep discussions about the universe. Do you still dream of Elias?
Well, he comes to me now that he started, he comes to me from time to time, and the answer is yes. it started that night and comes back to me again and again.
And is there any fulfillment in having written the book and exploring many of these issues? Does there come some sense of understanding and relief, or do those appearances still bring more questions?
Oh, that's both the same thing. The relief is, the understanding is, this questioning, deep questioning, touches a very great part of ourselves that brings us hope. As a professor of philosophy, I have seen that in the younger generation time and time again, that when these great questions are opened up in a really heartfelt as well as an intellectually precise way, they feel, as one student said, it makes me feel hope because it touches that part of myself, of ourselves. And that's where the hope will lie, when we begin to open that and respect that part of ourselves and let it grow. We're far more too much in our head and not enough in both the head and the heart together.
Why do you think we are so uncomfortable with the unknown?
Well, the unknown out there makes us frightened, and we feel a need to master things because we're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen to us. But the unknown in ourselves brings us hope and comfort. And we're not afraid of the unknown in ourselves, really. The real unknown in ourselves opens our minds. When we really feel a deep question, when we have a deep question, we are much more alive, much more compassionate, much more intelligent. We don't suffer from our questions. We suffer from our answers. And you could almost say the history of the terrible histories of our culture, our life, our civilization, are clashes of answers, not clashes of questions. Don't you think there's something to that?
Certainly. But you wonder of when it comes to the unknown, and especially when we're talking about Earth, that obviously we're all in this together. So we think about what our role is, but then we also think about what the role of others is and can be, and wonder how one reflects the other and one influences the other so that we can truly make a difference.
Yes, absolutely. And we see that conscious talking, speaking, conversation, listening in a civilized, deep way with each other is one way of expressing what you just said, that when we begin to learn how to listen to another human being rather than shout at each other and try to inflict our answers on each other, that's the beginning of a real relationship. I would call it a philosophical or spiritual relationship to people. And it's so needed now that we cannot become fully human just by ourselves. We need each other on that. And how that's the great question of the Earth is, how will human beings hear each other, come together with each other, and see their commonality rather than fight over their differences?
Jacob Needleman is the author of the book An Unknown World, Notes on the Meaning of the Earth, that is published by Tarcher Penguin. It is a great pleasure to speak with you and to have you share your thoughts and expertise with us. The book is delightful and so important, and I thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you for your wonderful questions. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Again, An Unknown World, Notes on the Meaning of the Earth, published by Tarcher Penguin, by Jacob Needleman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.